Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Father, we thank you for your presence with us. For in our weakness, you become strong. In our failures, you are successful. So we leverage on your strength this morning. We leverage on your power this morning. We leverage on your wisdom. Because you are all that we ever need. Thank you, Father. Everyone shall receive a word from you. For you shall speak to their hearts. You shall speak to our hearts. And we shall receive a word from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, celebrate Jesus in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can have your seat, please. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start from there. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to thank everybody that came out for the outreach yesterday. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You are a blessing. Thank you so much. I understand that we are tired from yesterday, but God is our strength. If you believe God is your strength, say amen. Okay, say it again. If you believe that God is your strength, or if you don't believe it, then if you believe that God is your strength, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 21. Let me start from verse 24. It says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is his church." Verse 25. "I have become its servant by the commissioning of God, the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has..." Come read verse 26 together. "The mystery that has been kept hidden from the ages and generations, but is now disclosed to them," the Lord's people, "to them who God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his majesty, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Hallelujah. Are you with your Bible this morning? Okay, the scriptures are on the script. Okay. "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Today I want to talk about what I titled "The Advantage of Christ in Us." In other words, we're talking about the advantage of Christ in us to overcome challenges and overcome our weaknesses. Now this month we've been discussing a series titled "Overcoming Our Weaknesses." Overcoming our weaknesses. And it's very important that we come to the understanding that Christ is in us. If you believe that, say amen. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. No matter what you are going through, Christ is in you. The Bible says that these riches of the glorious inheritance, these riches of the glory, let me see verse 27, "to them God has chosen," and that is you, "to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his majesty, which is Christ in you." In other words, that the fact that Christ is in you means that you can do things beyond your own ability. Hallelujah. It means that you can leverage on the strength of Christ. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. It is so important that you have this consciousness in your mind that Christ is in you. That your weaknesses are not an evidence of Christ being in you. Because if you can leverage on the strength of God in you, you can overcome every weakness that you come across. Every challenge in yourself. God is in you. Christ is God. Christ is in you and is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And our translation says that, let me get another translation. It says, in different, let me just read in the different translation. I'm going to read the Amplified Version. I'm going to read it in the NLT. Let me read Amplified Version itself. "To whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles the riches of the glory of this majesty." So in other words, for the Gentiles, Christ has made Christ has made this known for the Gentiles. He has made it for the Gentiles. The Gentiles are you and I. In other words, we are not the Jews, we are the Gentiles. We are people that are from places outside Israel. Remember in the old covenant, God had a covenant with the people of Israel. And apart from the people of Israel, every other person was recorded Gentiles. But in Christ Jesus, what happened was that something happened for us, the Gentiles. We, the Gentiles, are now partakers of the things that belong to God. If you read Ephesians chapter 2 verse, let's go there quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. That's verse, Ephesians chapter 2 verse, let's start from verse 12, or let's start from verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, let me get another translation, go to KJV. It says, verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of God. Remember that you were, can you read the verse 12 together? So you can get this for yourself. Verse 12 together. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in this world. Verse 13, can we read it together? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, that is the circumcised and the uncircumcised, he has made us one. Hallelujah. He has made the two groups one. He has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier. He has destroyed. Someone said destroyed. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall. He has destroyed it. He has made it inconsequential that we are Gentiles because we are part of the covenant of God. He has destroyed the Gentiles. He has destroyed the wall. Sorry. Divide the barriers and the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with his command and regulations. In his purpose was that, now let's look at this very carefully. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Let me just state to you that the day you gave your life to Christ, let me say it again. The day you gave your life to Christ, you became a complete different person. Hallelujah. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I was in my room and I used to be someone that used to do hard drugs before. I finished having some bout of hard drugs. And my friends wanted to go out and drink. But I just felt something compelling to just stay back. And I just felt my life was sleep. I slept. I woke up. And when I woke up, I felt my life was completely useless. And I said, Jesus, if you can save me, just save me. And I slept back. The next day, I woke up a different person. In other words, God changed me completely. I had desires for things that I didn't like before. And I stopped having desires for things I didn't like before. I used to be a chain smoker before. That day I stopped smoking. Do you get what I'm saying? So it could not be my personal ability. It was something that came into me at that point in time that made me accomplish all that. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? I had tried stopping smoking for some time, but it did not work. But that day I woke up without, since that day till now, I woke up the next day. Since that day till now, I've not smoked a cigarette. And that's about how many years now? Many years ago. After my fourth year in university. So basically, God is able to do things in you if you can lean on Him. God is able to do things in you. In Colossians that we read, it says that we have this. Sorry, let me just take off these glasses. Hallelujah. In Colossians that we read, we said that this is the mystery of the glorious riches of Christ, of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's an expectation of glory. It's an expectation of glory. So your life is only going one direction. Your life is only going one direction. If you like, believe it, believe it, believe it. Your life is only going one direction. Glory. Am I communicating this morning? There is nothing that will come to your life that, no weakness that you have that you cannot overcome. There is no challenge that you can experience that you cannot overcome. Because Christ is in you. Someone say, Christ is in me. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And our translation says that, let's go back to that Colossians chapter 1. I want to read it in the Amplified Version. Hallelujah. The Amplified Contemporary Version. Verse 27. To whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of realizing the glory. Hallelujah. The hope of realizing the glory. In other words, your life is going towards one direction. Hallelujah. Yesterday we had an outreach. And that outreach, we gave out stuff. We spent some money and God provided. But what's so striking is that 2 days to the outreach, I felt that I should cancel the outreach because I felt we were not ready. Hallelujah. I felt that we were not ready. But as I was preaching, no, that was on Wednesday, not 2 days, 3 days before the outreach. On Wednesday, I felt like we were going to cancel the outreach because we were not ready for the outreach. But interestingly, and we didn't have the money at that point in time. Interestingly, when I preached on Wednesday, and I just realized that the challenges that we're facing, and we had plenty of challenges, many reasons why we couldn't have done it. Many reasons. From number one, the contact that we had in Nubawa died. In other words, we didn't have a town crier that was in Nubawa again. He died. Then we tried reaching out to somebody else. Not possible. In terms of agreement, arrangements, we had no arrangement for that outreach in terms of promotion. But somehow I realized that the challenges, one of the guys that handles our logistics had an injury in his leg that he cannot even walk. So you can imagine that we could have just boned. Do you get what I'm saying? But as I was preaching on Wednesday, I was preaching on trials. It just dawned on me that, no matter what comes your way, you can overcome it. Hallelujah. And yesterday we talked to 90 people and we reached out to over 90 people yesterday in this auditorium, in this venue. So I'm saying to you that there is nothing that you cannot accomplish if you only understand that you have a greater one on the inside of you. There is nothing that you cannot accomplish. I came to understand that, there is nothing that I can accomplish. There's nothing I can overcome because my life only goes towards one direction. Glorious things. Hallelujah. If your life goes towards glorious things, just shout hallelujah. The Bible says that Christ is in you. It is the hope that you realize the glory. What is the glory? The glory is everything God has made you to be. Everything God has formed you to become. You will get there if you believe that. Say amen. But you cannot have a mindset that you are disadvantaged if you are going to experience Christ in you, working out things for you. You cannot have a mindset of disadvantage. I'm saying something to you, that everything that we are is a function of our minds. It's a function of our minds. Because let me put it this way, man is created, is a spirit that has a soul. And the mind is in the soulish realm of the mind, of man. Man is a spirit that has a soul. Our spirits were made new in God. In Christ Jesus, our spirits are made new. Our body only goes to what functions in our mind. Hallelujah, in our soul. In other words, we will die and leave this body. This body, we will drop it on the ground. It will go back to the earth. That's what the Bible says. I don't know if you know that. You will drop this body
And what we go is not going to be two different things. It's only one person that is going to go. And that is your spirit with your soul. The problem that we have is our soul. The Bible said that we should renew our mind and start seeing things the way God sees them. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible said we should renew our minds. We're going to look at it. It's a function of our consciousness. It's a function of your mind. Sometimes because of circumstances, because of your weakness, you're so conscious of your weakness. You're so conscious of your weakness. You fall short because you are conscious that you are weak. For instance, I remember some time ago I was struggling with something and I became so frustrated because I kept on falling for it. I kept on falling for it. And I realized something, that every time I spent time focusing on the right thing, somehow I don't do the wrong thing. And I realized that something is in me that has been programmed to do the right thing consistently. That same thing is in you. If you believe that, say amen. The program to do the right thing, the more conscious I was of that right thing, the more conscious of what I had in me became the reason why I stopped that thing. And I can't even remember doing that thing again. Do you get what I'm saying? There are things that you are doing now that is not a function of your spirit. It's a function of your mind. It's a function of your mind. If you can only renew your mind, Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He said, do not conform to the world. Do not conform to the world, the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Somebody say, be transformed. Transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will. His good, His pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, our transformation, our overcoming comes when our minds are renewed. Am I communicating this morning? Our overcoming, if you're having any challenge in your life right now, just find the word of God consigning it and renew your mind to that word. You will see that that challenge will drop over you in the name of Jesus Christ. So there's no situation, there's no habit you have that you cannot overcome. Even the world now, there's this guy, James Clear, he wrote a book, Atomic Habits. In other words, he talked about how to overcome weak habits and bad habits and develop good habits. James Clear, and I think he's a Christian, but he didn't write it for Christians. He wrote it as a secular book. Men are struggling to overcome bad habits. Men are struggling to overcome bad habits, but in God, there is already a solution to all bad habits. Hallelujah. That is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says that we will not conform to the patterns of this world, but will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The reason why you are doing some things is because your mind thinks that you are to be doing them. Let me put it that way. Let me say this way. If you are struggling with a sin, one sin or the other, it's because your mind thinks, why am I always falling into this sin? Hallelujah. I don't know if you get what I said. If you are struggling with a sin or the other, you know that, why am I always falling into this sin? It seems like a good statement. But your consciousness that you always fall into this sin. I get what I'm saying. Your consciousness, you always fall into this sin. I can tell you this. I've heard two pastors talk about it. One of them is my pastor. Smoking habits. They were smoking and they said they were righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. After a few weeks, they stopped smoking. They realized that they just realized that they have stopped smoking. I get what I'm saying. Why? Because there's something in you that causes you to behave in a certain way. If you yield to it, if you are a believer, there's something in you. If you believe that, say amen. And that something is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Or let me go to Philippians because of time. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. I'll read verse. Paul ends this. I'll read his experience. Let me start from verse 10 just for Bible reading's sake. Hallelujah. Let me start from verse 10. And I like to read it in the NLT.
in the New Living Translation. Verse 10. It says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. In other words, they were not concerned about him before. Am I communicating? They were not concerned about him before. He said, I'm concerned about you. You are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have a chance to help me. Hallelujah. You didn't have a chance to help me. In other words, he was void of help, even in this situation. Just follow me. He said, you didn't have a chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need for help. Not that I was ever in need. For I have learned, somebody say learned. I have learned how to be content whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living. Hallelujah. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty or little, for I can do everything. Someone say everything. I can do everything. How? I want you to talk. I can do what? Everything through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, Paul was not saying that when I have little, I will manage. Because for a long time, I used to read this scripture thinking that Paul was saying, I will manage. He said, I can do everything. Everything. Oh my God. What is everything? What is everything? When you think that you don't have money, you think that you are limited. As a matter of fact, poor people, I watched a research some time ago. They talk to poor people around. And the number one thing, there were five things that they brought out that poor people think that poverty is. They never said it's lack of money. They said that it was limitation. That was the number one thing, limitation. What I want to do, I cannot do. Because I don't have money. But Paul said it. Paul said it this way. I have learned. In other words, it's something that Paul learned. Can you learn that thing today? That Christ gives him strength to do everything. So if there is anything that Paul wanted to do, he will do. Am I communicating? If there's anything that Paul wanted to do, he will do. Because he will leverage on the strength of Christ. And Paul understood this, that Christ will never do anything for him that he doesn't want to do. Let me put it this way. Christ will not tell you to sin. Hallelujah. Christ will not give you ability to sin because he doesn't want you to sin. Am I communicating? But Christ would give you ability to fulfill destiny. And your destiny is glorious things to come. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul learned this, and I want to just, in the next 10 minutes, teach us this thought. And it's something that I had in my mind for a long time, and I stopped having it for a period of time. Then this outreach actually made me understand this even deeper, that whether you have plenty or little, as long as it is God that tells you that you can do something, you can do that thing. Hallelujah. You can, as long as you start putting your strength into that thing, as long as you start taking your steps into it, you can do that thing. There is nothing that God has prepared for you that you can't do. There is nothing God says that you can't do, that you can do, that you can't do. Let me say that again. There is nothing God says that you can do, that you can't do. If God says you can live a holy life on this earth, you can do it. If God says you can live a faultless life on this earth, you can do it. And God has said it. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Be holy just as I am holy. How is God holy? We worship God because of his holiness. Am I communicating? And God says, you can be holy just as I am holy. The Bible says that we can live a faultless life, a blameless life in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, read it, you'll get the verse. You can live a faultless life and a blameless life, a faultless life and a blameless life in a crooked and perverse generation. Hallelujah.
Some people complain, this our generation is too sinful. But the Bible says of Noah, he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. A righteous man. He was only tormented by the sin of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And trust me, Sodom and Gomorrah was very sinful. Sodom and Gomorrah, they saw the guys in Sodom and Gomorrah, saw some guys coming to Lot's house and chose to sleep with those guys by force. Lot offered them his daughters. They refused his daughters to sleep with guys. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That's how sinful Sodom was. But the Bible said that righteous man, hallelujah, talking about Lot, that righteous man was tormented. Yes, definitely, you will get some feelings, you will get some torments because people, everywhere you go to, they want to do corruption. You will lose things because of corruption. You will get some things that will hurt you. But you can live in a crooked generation faultless with the strength of Christ. How did Paul say it? He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Through Christ who gives us. How do we leverage the strength of Christ? How do we leverage the strength of Christ? The Christ advantage, that's what we're talking about today. How do we leverage the strength of Christ? Number one, we leverage the strength of Christ by trusting Christ. Hallelujah. That's what we call faith. We call this faith. We believe that God says it and we believe it is done. So we live on it. In believing God, in believing Christ, Christ supplies you strength to accomplish the things that you have said you accomplish. So if you have a sinful habit, for instance, I'm going to overcome it. Remember I said it's your mind. Overcoming it is your mind. So the key is faith in Christ. If God says I am righteous, then I am righteous. Hallelujah. That means it is illegal or, what was the word? It's abnormal. Yes, somebody say abnormal. Abnormal. Somebody say abnormal. It's abnormal for a sinful nature to be in my life. It's abnormal. It's abnormal. As a matter of fact, you have to come to this consciousness and say, it's abnormal. Why? Because Christ says, I'm righteous. So I trust Christ. Hallelujah. So if you want to leverage the strength of Christ, number one, you have to trust Christ. Have faith in Christ. Have faith in Christ. Tell your neighbor, have faith in Christ. What does faith in Christ mean? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Or from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me start from verse 7. It says, so God can... Let me go from NLT to NKJV. Hallelujah. Verse 7. It says... Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. This verse, okay. It said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like reading that again. That in the ages to come, he might show. God, this is talking about God. He might make known the riches, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you have been saved. How have you been saved? By grace. How do you accomplish things? By grace. Hallelujah. But that grace comes through faith. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I'm thinking of how to express it to you this morning so you can get it. Grace is God's ability to do things that are beyond your ability. You can't forgive yourself, so he forgives you. But you cannot accomplish something, so he helps you accomplish it. Just like forgiveness is to miracles. I don't know if you know that. Jesus, there's a guy that four guys pushed one guy from the roof into where Jesus was. And Jesus told the guy, hey, these people have feet. Your sins are forgiven. And the Jews said, they were thinking in their heart, why can this person say I forgive sins? It's only God that can forgive sins. And Jesus perceived what they were thinking in their heart and said, why do you say that I can't forgive sins? I want to prove to you that I can forgive sins. He healed the guy that was sick, and the guy came out well. Hallelujah. Carried his mat and went home. What does that tell you? That forgiveness, if God can forgive you, he can heal you. Beyond that, if the grace of God can forgive you your sins, the grace of God can help you accomplish things. And we see in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, that grace, we are saved, we are healed, we are delivered, we accomplish things by grace. Grace is the ability of Christ, but that grace comes through faith. Come on, say something. Someone say faith. Faith is you believing what God has said above and beyond your own circumstances. Faith is believing that God says, okay, I should go to this place and I will go there. I don't have money in my pocket. So Paul saying that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me is that Paul was a traveling itinerant minister. So he had to go to different places. He had to go to Asia. From Asia, he had to come back to Israel and all those kind of things. Sometimes he didn't have money in his pocket, but he knew that, man, I'm supposed to be in Macedonia. I'm getting to Macedonia. Hallelujah. And he got to Macedonia. Paul's trips were very interesting. If you go back and read the book of Acts, Paul's trips were very interesting. Some of the time he was entered free of charge into from boats to take him cross the river, cross the sea to another location. Why? Because Christ was in him. He knew that I can do everything because Christ is in me. I can say to you, you would overcome every weakness because Christ in you, because you believe what Christ has said. If you believe that, say amen. Number two is obedience. Obedience. Obeying what Christ has said. Many believers in this our generation don't obey. They want miracles, but they don't obey. They want to see God do things in their lives, but they don't obey. Let me check the time, I beg. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to end now. They want to do things, but they don't obey Christ. So, obedience is key. There's this song that they used to sing in the past. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. There is no other way than to trust, which is faith, and obey. Hallelujah. To be happy in Jesus. Oh my God. If you are sad, it's not because that you are not in Jesus. It's because that you are not trusting or obeying. Or trusting and obeying. Am I communicating? If you can, the Bible says rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you can get this. I believe you get this in the name of Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can't accomplish. There's no challenge that you can't overcome. There's no challenge that you can't overcome if you only trust and obey. If you only trust and obey. Obedience is your proof that you love Jesus. I need to end here. But you need to see this. To leverage on the strength of Jesus in any situation. In any situation. Sometimes, let me put it this way. Let me just say it and I'll end here because time is on my neck. To leverage on the strength of Jesus in any situation is to trust, to have faith in what he has said and act on what he has said, obey. Hallelujah. Believe in what he has said and act on what he has said. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy, to see results. What did Jesus say? That your joy is going to be full. If you ask and you believe and you receive, that your joy will be full. He said, ask and you shall receive. In the book of John chapter 16. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. In other words, to be happy in Jesus, you have to trust and obey what he has said. Hallelujah. So this morning, your weaknesses will be overcome by the strength of God. By the strength of Christ. Because Christ is in you. There is Christ in you.
is the hope of glory. The only thing that you can end with is glory if you trust and obey. Let's say a word of prayer. We're going to go into a prophetic service in the next service. We're going to do prophetic service and then we're going to worship God. But I want you to have this consciousness. Even if you're not going to be here in the second service, have this consciousness that Jesus is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. I will overcome in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. You that sustains me. You that keeps me safe. And you that accomplish great things through me. I pray that you will work in everyone, that their weaknesses will become strength. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let every weakness become strength. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God forevermore.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.